Well, I've had some questions, especially about a meeting we had, I think it was maybe two or three back, you know, concerning the judgments that are going to begin to come on America. We're going to have an American Voice radio program, and I thought maybe I would study something that would lead right into that, or share something that will lead right into that, and answer some of these questions. Now, some people are wondering, you know, what do I do? Is this going to happen or not? And how much of it is going to happen? And I can tell you, folks, I only know a little bit. That's just what God tells me. That's all I know. And the brethren bring to me. You know, that's all I know. Sometimes I'm not sure about that. So we have to always trust in the Lord, don't we? You know, no matter what we know with our mind, we have to trust the Lord, that He is our Savior in all things. We put that upon Him. If we're fearful, then we're not trusting Him to be our Savior. You know, but if we are trusting in Him, we know that He's going to speak to us. He's a good shepherd. He's got His little crooked cane there, and He'll pull us back, or He'll move us around, and He'll take care of us. So we just need to put our trust in Him and learn to trust Him. Don't be fearful about the things you hear about in the world, and don't be fearful about the prophecies, because we're entering into the time of when Moses is about to come down out the mountain and go to Egypt. He's about to bring judgments upon Egypt and God's people out into the wilderness. We're about to see the judgments come upon Egypt for the sake of God's people. Just remember that God's on your side. He loves you. He's doing this for you. He's doing it for the people that you've prayed for, because you want them to know the Lord. And quite frankly, as we studied here a couple of times back, unless God shakes all things, His people won't come out of Babylon and go to Zion. That's one of the conditions He said in the Bible would be necessary. And so, yet once more, He's going to shake all things. But just remember, He's got His hand upon you. You've got an angel there standing next to you that just one angel in the Bible killed 185,000 men. Can you imagine the strength of these angels? And nothing, the Bible even says a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. That don't leave much chance for the devil to slip in there and do something that God doesn't know about, right? And since God is the one that works all things after the counsel of His own will, we can put our trust in Him. We can believe Him to be our Savior in all things. Of course, we're learning that Savior means a lot in the Bible, a lot more than what we learned about in religion, you know. And in most religion, it means He's your Savior. It means one day you get to go to heaven. But we found out that His salvation is so much bigger than that, because He saves us daily, moment by moment. He is in complete control of His crop down here. He's taking good care of it as a good husbandman, the Bible calls Him. You know, nothing by accident can come into your life. But the best thing we can do is to cooperate with Him in this process, because in our rebellion, you know, kind of like the shepherds that break the lamb's legs, you know, to keep them from running off and getting in trouble, you know, it's a lot easier on you if you cooperate, right? You can make it easy or you can make it hard, you know, but we want to give God cooperation. We want to give Him faith, you know. Faith has to come first, because if we don't believe, then we don't have grace. And let's face it, the promises of God's benefits come to those that believe. So that's one reason we study it so much. But one of the questions that I've gotten a lot here lately is concerning the thing we spoke about a while back, His cup runneth over, and the date that they gave, January the 23rd, I believe. Let me see. I lost track here. Yep. January the 23rd. And of these things beginning again, these judgments beginning again, and there were some things mentioned in there I'm going to talk about whether they're going to come to pass or not. Some things I know. Other things I don't. So I'll just share my little bit of a gift with you. First, I want to share this with you. This is an analyzation of the attacks by Al-Qaeda and how that they give a sign or a signal before they do it. And it's been read over and over pretty consistently. And this leads us to believe something about that revelation about his cup runneth over. Let me share this with you. This is a report. I'm going to read a little bit of it to you. And then we'll go look at a piece of that, see how things line up there, okay? Well, this is by Sherry Gossett, CNS News staff writer. And the name of its Al-Qaeda video is Green Light for Attack. This is just a little news report that will probably lead us into what we're going to talk about. And we just recently put this on our site under His Cup Runneth Over, down at the bottom. And it says, the recent released video message from Al-Qaeda's number two leader is part of a pattern that signals a countdown to a major terrorist attack within the next 30 days, warns a Washington, D.C.-based analyst. The new video was aired by the Qatar-based Al Jazeera satellite network on January the 6th. It is Ayman al-Zawahiri portrays U.S. government discussion of troops withdrawal from Iraq as a victory for Islam. He said, if your forces with all its aircraft, missiles, tanks, fleets are moaning and bleeding and looking for an escape from Iraq, then will the hypocrites, conspirators, infidels, which he calls the Iraqi government, resist what the greatest power in the world has failed to resist? Al-Zawahiri asked. How can they do it? How can they resist it? What the greatest power in the world has failed to resist? A good question. Because, you know, God gives enemies ability against us when our ways don't please him, you know. And he takes their ability away when they do. And I tell you, when God raises up an enemy to you, you can't do anything with them but trust the Lord and learn to walk by faith. And he will take care of them sooner or later. When they're through doing their work or crucifying you, he'll take care of them. So they've worked diligently to take these people out and so far been unsuccessful in getting the real top dogs here because it hasn't been God's time. That's why. It hasn't been God's time. Men like to think that they have ability and they can do something, but I tell you what, we can do nothing without the Lord. It continues, it says, but it is not the content of the video that is a sign of a possible imminent strike, said terrorism expert Christopher Brown. Instead, it's the timing of the video that's consistent with previous patterns. Brown, a researcher with a Washington think tank, has briefed members of Congress and senior administration officials on key threats, and he has prepared testimony and briefing materials for officials at the Department of Defense, State Department, CIA, National Security Council, and the White House. The pattern Brown observed is that each Zawahiri video appears to be part of a pair, with the second video followed by a significant attack within 30 days outside the major combat zones of Iraq and Afghanistan. So two pairs after the second one, 30 days, okay? The videos released on September the 9th and November the 9th of 2004 were the first set and were followed by the Jeddah, Saudi Arabia bombings on December the 6th, 2004. The second set of videos was released February the 20th and June 26th, 2005, followed by the July 7th London bombings. A third set of videos was released August the 4th and September the 1st, 2005, followed by the bombings in Bali, Indonesia, on October the 1st, 2005. So he's kind of set up a pattern here. Of course, patterns are meant to be broken, so this is no proof of anything. It's just a pattern. But when you can't get on the phone and call your army, you set up signals and you use them, and that's what they believe that they're doing. A Cybercast news service on September the 8th of last year detailed Brown's warning regarding an impending October attack. The fourth set of videos, according to Brown's theory, was released on October the 23rd, 2005, and last week, January the 6th. This pattern has held for at least three of al-Qaeda's last large-scale attacks, said Brown. This most recent video is likely a signal that a large-scale operation is about to be launched within the next 30 days. The question is where. So that was 30 days from January the 6th. Okay? And the question is where. A clue may be found in the internet postings of the enigmatic Abu Hafs al-Masri brigades, said Brown. The brigades appear to be green light, a green light coming attack prior to the release of the second video of each pair, Brown said. The video that preceded the London bombings was itself preceded by a post by the European Division of the Brigades under the title Letter to Mujahideen in Europe. The posting stated, in part, "We now call on the Mujahideen around the world to launch the expected attack." The message appeared on al-Qaeda-linked internet forum. Brown believed the larger pattern of two videos sandwiching an internet posting by the Abu Hafs al-Masri brigades was repeated when a November web message declared that the upcoming attack would occur in the land of the Romans, quote, widely seen as a reference to Italy, or is it the land of the Romans? The internet posting under the name of al-Qaeda's reputed military commander, Saif al-Adel, mentioned future attacks involving unidentified poisonous substances and surface-to-air missiles procured from Chechnya. Brown notes that the Abu Hafs al-Masri brigades are overseen by Abu Musab al-Zakari, the top al-Qaeda terrorist in Iraq, who is also known to have ties to Chechnya. It is even more interesting to note that Western intelligence officials believe that al-Qaeda has had some of the most advanced Russian man-portable surface-to-air missile systems, the SA-18, within Europe for the last year. It's interesting they're talking about this next one being surface-to-air missiles because by at least three different reckonings, New York was going to be hit by a missile similar to that. And they were mentioned in His Cup Runneth Over. So that's very interesting. It seems like a confirmation here. On October the 29th of 2005, the London Telegraph reported that Abu Atiyah, an al-Qaeda operative close to al-Zawahiri, revealed to French authorities that a group called the Chechen Network entered France with the missiles and chemical and biological agents such as botulin, ricin, and cyanide. The missiles were reportedly purchased in 2002 and eventually smuggled through Georgia and Turkey to be used in a planned attack against French airliners in 2004. Following the London bombings, the brigades posted a communique on the internet stating, "We are in Italy, and not one of you is safe as long as you refuse Osama bin Laden's offer. Get rid of the incompetent Minister Silvio Berlusconi, or we will truly burn Italy." A July 19, 2005 story in Italy's Corriere della Sera newspaper indicated that the Italian intelligence feared the statement was a coded message activating known cells in Italy, which had previously been providing only logistical support. Three more messages from Abu Hafs al-Masri brigades were posted in July, promising to burn Italy down. "We will raise the cities of Europe to the ground, and you will be the first Berlusconi." One of the messages declared on July the 31st, "The brigades claim to be calling up all our cells in Rome and other Italian cities for this war." Another internet message followed in August. Now, watch this. This is interesting right here. I highlighted this. However, the November reference to the land of the Romans could be misdirection, Brown said. since Al-Qaeda is known to use coded language in many of its communications. The Global Islamic Media Front has indicated that Al-Qaeda intentionally labeled Italy as a target prior to the London bombings. Notice that. Labeled Italy as a target prior to the London bombings. They tried to lead people astray. Okay? So, you can't believe what they say, right? If the land of the Romans, quote, doesn't refer to Rome, what might it refer to? Dan Darling of the Manhattan Institute believes it could be a reference to the United States. It could just as easily apply to the United States. America as the new Rome, said Darling. Well, wow, that's really something. You know, that's not been voiced very loudly in the national news that America is ahead of a new Roman Empire. But it's fairly obvious that it is so, that history is just repeating, you know. It seems that these world-ruling empires like Babylon and Rome and even Hitler's empire, which were all symbolized by the great eagle, you know, the head of the empire of Rome was Rome itself, but the head of the Roman Empire today is America, folks. That's the one that's being revived right now. It's the head of the UN. It's leading the world. It's the eagle at the top, just like in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 3. The eagle was the head of gold that ruled over all the rest of the nations, which was the image of the beast. And now this fellow's come up with, I think, a pretty sharp idea that the land of the Romans could very well be America and not Italy. Brown also believes that the Al-Qaeda, and the reason I say that is because we have a confirmation of that. I'll read that to you in a minute. Brown also believes that the Al-Qaeda threat could apply to the United States and that America is the likelier target. The land of the Romans could be a symbolic reference to the countless examples of Romanesque architecture in Washington, D.C., said Brown. Yeah, that's very interesting. The missiles reportedly obtained from Chechnya have not been located, and Brown believes it is possible that some of the weapons have been smuggled into North America since individuals involved in the Chechen network who procured the missiles were allegedly involved in the 99 conspiracy to bomb Los Angeles International Airport. About Brown's theory of the timing pattern and imminent strike, Dan Darling said, I definitely think there's something behind this theory. One of my earliest observations about Al-Qaeda is that when people look for patterns, they tend to forget to include events in places like Kashmir, Chechnya, and Iraq. Darling also noted that analysts often fail to take into account thwarted attacks. Italy has arrested several members of GSPC cells intent on attacking Italy or the United States related installations, said Darling. The GSPC is also known as the Salafist group for preaching and combat, an Algerian group linked to Al-Qaeda. Italian officials announced on December 23rd that the suspected terrorists had planned to carry out attacks against the United States that would have surpassed 9-1-1. Terrorist expert Rahman told Cybercast News Service that Brown's theory is fascinating, but that he is not in a position to agree or disagree with it. Now, the thing I wanted to point out there mostly was this land of the Romans, because it's interesting that the thing we read a couple of weeks ago, His Cup Runneth Over, which I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read a little piece of it to point out to you, that's exactly what was being identified in North America, is a second Roman Empire in the vision by Charles Holman and Yuli Serbeck, because they were praying together from August 27th to September the 8th concerning this situation, and God started giving them revelations concerning it. And the name of it is His Cup is Running Over. Many people have been giving me so many questions about this and wondering what they should do and where they're living and where they're moving to and, you know, where they're going. Somebody told me just the other day that they were, matter of fact, going to be in New York on that particular day, you know, that they were warning about here and what to do. Well, I can't tell you what to do. I can tell you this, that if you love the Lord and you ask Him to save you and you trust Him, that He will talk to you when He gets good and ready to talk. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Put your faith in Him. Ask and believe you have received, right? If any lacks wisdom, just let him ask. But he says, he warns us, don't be double-minded, right? Because the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that man shall receive anything from the Lord. So ask the Lord for wisdom. In fact, I suggest this from here on out, folks, because danger can be anywhere, right? And I tell you, when you're abiding in Christ, danger loses its meaning, really, honestly, because, you know, he's your Savior. You can trust in him, and he will guide you. But to the world, danger is a possibility of anywhere. But to us, we know that we're like the Israelites in Egypt. We're there, and God's plan is not to destroy the Israelites in Egypt. His plan is to judge Egypt so that the Israelites will come out. So he has a good plan for us. Let me read a little bit of this. I saw God's cup of wrath running over. It simply was too full. I will destine you to the sword. All of you will bow down before the executioner. For when I called, you did not answer. And when I spoke, you did not listen. You deliberately sinned before mine eyes and chose to do what you know I despise. That was Isaiah 65, 1 through 12. Okay. He said, I was with the angels flying over North America. I saw the angels stamping each nation that would be devastated. And we flew over with a sign as a Roman numeral 2. So they were flying over each nation with a sign. The sign was the Roman numeral 2. And, of course, you know, many Bible expositories and prophecy teachers have spoken about the revival of the Roman Empire. I dare say most people don't know what it looks like, because they're thinking about something happening over there in the Middle East with the EU, of some form of a revived Roman Empire. But actually, folks, this is going to be a worldwide type and shadow revival of the Roman Empire. Just as the iron and the clay in Daniel's vision went all the way down to the toes, the 10 kings, so in these times there is going to be a revived Roman Empire. It never actually died, as you can tell. There's no breaks in the legs of Daniel's vision of the image of the beast. It goes all the way down to the toes. It mixes with the clay. You'll notice that, contrary to the opinion of many people, it's not reviving the Roman Empire where it was at the thighs before it split east and west, which would be what they're kind of designing over there as the EU. That's what many Christians believe, is that there's going to be a resurrection of the EU as the revived Roman Empire. And that's totally false, because Daniel said that the iron wouldn't be mixed with the clay anymore. It would be dispersed. It wouldn't cling together anymore. It would be divided by the clay. And of course, we know that that's happened all over the world. What was the Roman Empire, the seed of that Roman Empire in our day is spread all over the earth. It's only divided by the clay, which was never a part of the Roman Empire. So it makes good sense, if you're looking for a worldwide empire and you're looking for the people that were the children of that Roman Empire, and you followed those languages from Europe to the rest of the world, you would find that the whole world is involved in this. And not only that, you would find that America's at the top, just like in Daniel chapter 2 and 3, that America, like Babylon, the great eagle, is at the top of the image of the beast. And if you want to look at because let me point this out, that every world ruling empire is a type and shadow of the last world ruling empire, because it's 7 heads and 10 horns. Egypt and Assyria and Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, all of these are in the last empire, and all of them are types of the last empire. And some lesser empires are that have been in the world, like Hitler's empire, also are a type of it. Many lesser empires are types of it. So we pointed out a while back how that that the symbols that are used in the Bible have modern meanings today. We still have all those symbols, you know. The lion, the leopard, the bear, you know, they all mean something today. They all represent empires again today. And, of course, that is the fulfillment of them. Most people haven't figured that out yet, but it is. Now, America's the great eagle. You know, the Romans had their staff with the eagle on the end. You know, their what would you call it? I forget. Kind of. You know, it's, you know, the flagpoles and things like that that have the eagle on the end. That's the same thing the Romans had. That was identifying the Roman Empire. And now we've copied that. And many other things. So it makes good sense. I'm going to read on because he identifies America first with this Roman numeral 2 here. He said, North America was first when we went to Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Turkey, and then it went over to Europe, but with the exception of Greece, first to Italy, and then the whole of Europe. The angels were laying a blanket of black over the entire group of nations, and it represented judgment. Spain. Then I came back to North America, and I saw Canada and Hawaii, and I turned around and I saw Australia. But only half of it, as the other half seemed to have disappeared. Australia. That sounds bad for Australia, doesn't it? Then I saw Indonesia, Malaysia, Russia, and China, and then going to Africa, and then it went to Israel. So he's flying with the angels, and they're marking each nation with this Roman numeral 2. Isn't that amazing? All these nations are involved in the Roman, this revived, this second Roman Empire? A little bit later, he tells us that he marked them in that order on purpose for a reason. Okay, let me read on. Then there were this two other visions which were given later, but it seemed good to hang them on. To hang them on as they go in the same line as the word above. I don't know. Couldn't quite understand that. It was the vision about an earthquake through North America splitting in the middle, about a mile deep from Houston, Texas, straight up across America. It will come before the U.S. has recovered from the actual flooding at the south coast. So he's seeing things here that don't all happen at this date, you understand? He's going to explain that in a minute, but he sees things that are happening over a period of time. Because some people ask me about these things, you know, when are they going to happen? I'll point something out to you here in a minute that I think will be important. Then the Lord later spoke the following sentence, "The slaughter of the innocents has begun." Then a few days later, the Lord gave the following vision with a special concern for New York. "I saw the sky, and suddenly out of the sky, airplanes were falling everywhere. It was like ripples. There were ripples in the sky like there is in the water. These ripples were like sound waves or electronic disturbance directed from the ground against these airplanes, which had made them fall out of the sky." Well, you know, I believe this is describing exactly what scalar electromagnetic waves do, you know. And the Russians have been perfecting this weapon for years. Matter of fact, if you go to "His Cup Runneth Over" in Dreams and Visions on our site, on this page, I leave a link that is quite a bit of research has gone into this this particular work, and it's the Fear de Lance site, www.chenere.org. And there's a book there, Fear de Lance, and it's all about scalar electromagnetic waves and how it can knock airplanes out of the sky and lots of other things, including missiles and actually bring down nations, and it's the most fantastic weapon that they've ever created. It's generations past nuclear weapons, and these people know it. And I'll tell you, when it's time, folks, I don't think the Russians are taking any chances. I think when it's time, they'll make their move, and obviously they're going to do exactly what the prophets have been saying, and that is they're going to take America. This weapon is a very fantastic weapon. You go there if you want to study it and look at it. But this is what he's talking about, the waves in the sky, electromagnetic pulse waves, scalar waves. I saw many warehouses, and then the ocean with a harbor appeared, and in the harbor was a cruise ship, which was on fire and sinking. I was in the water outside of the ship. I could see many animals in the water around the ship. They started moving, and they must be somehow crocodiles or whatever. They were there eating up those who tried to jump into the water, escaping the fire of the ship. I tried to tell them, don't jump, but I was screaming and screaming, but it was useless. They didn't listen. They jumped anyway. Well, I know the verses that the Lord sent to me concerning these this situation here. You know, I believe that the Great Eagle of Babylon is the party ship of the United States, and it'll begin to burn through many judgments, folks. It's not going to fall all of a sudden. It's going to take a while, as we're going to study in the American Voice program. But just as the Medes and the Persians fought against Babylon and eventually took it, so it will be for the United States. We have the same symbols that we're talking about here. You know, we're talking about the bear conquering the eagle. And it is going to be in the day of the Lord. But the judgments that we're going to see between here and there are going to greatly weaken America for the sake of this battle that's coming. We are told that those who jump ship will also die at the hands of these beasts. And Isaiah 13:13 says, therefore, I will make the heavens to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall come to pass that as the chaste roe, and as the sheep that no man gathereth, they shall turn every man to his own people, and shall flee every man to his own land. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is taken shall fall by the sword. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. And verse 18, and their bows shall dash the young men in pieces, and they shall have no pity upon the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. Now these are the same people whose symbol was the bear that fight against the modern day eagle. The same people. The modern day bear, Russia, will join with them to eventually defeat the eagle as history repeats. The warfare that we're going to see in the near future is not an open warfare. It's going to be a covert warfare at the hands of the Russians anyway, because they are covertly doing this behind the scenes. I know this because before 9/11, the year before 9/11, the Lord gave me a vision. I woke up on my birthday and I was suddenly staring right out through the ceiling into a blue sky. And how many of you know that's not possible without the Lord, right? I was staring up into a perfectly beautiful blue sky right through my ceiling, and I saw a symbol being written up there like you would maybe write it with a plane, you know. But it was dense white clouds. And what I saw was a dense circle being drawn. It was a hammer and a crescent. And when I looked at it first, it looked like the hammer and the sickle of the Soviet Union. Because as you know, folks, these people are all going to join back together before the end. But I thought it was a hammer and sickle, but it wasn't. There was no handle on it. It was a hammer and a crescent. And then it blinked out. In other words, it disappeared, and it came back as a partial. In other words, it was like you took an eraser and you went around and erased little dashes all the way around it. It was the hammer and the crescent. The crescent, of course, is on almost all of the Muslim flags. And the other half of it was obviously the Soviet Union joined with these people. Well, I knew what God was telling me. I knew that in attacks on the United States coming, that the Soviet Union, Russia, would join with the Muslims, not overtly, but covertly, to make war on America and weaken America for this eventual war that we see coming down the road. Well, it is coming, folks, but it's not as near as some people are prophesying. I'm going to tell you why, okay? I'm not saying that in this revelation here that these things aren't going to happen, but I can tell you some of them are not going to happen now. Okay, some of them are, and maybe on that date, but some of them are not going to happen now. And I know that because the Lord's shown me that, and I'll share that with you. I'll try not to share something with you that I don't believe or don't know, okay? And the third vision was Suddenly I was in the water, somehow in the harbor area of New York, and I could see people floating in the water and all kinds of things, and I was shocked and moved back as I looked. I looked down and I saw the head of the Statue of Liberty in the water next to me. Then suddenly a big hole was blown out in the midst of the skyscrapers, and people were melting like wax. It must have been a nuclear explosion. And, of course, Corey Caldwell, that's sitting right here next to us, he got a confirming vision of this. He saw the Statue of Liberty in the water, too. And we shared his revelation last time. Then, in addition to this explosion, suddenly I saw flat across the map of the United States and saw the following names jumping up. I heard the names of the cities as I saw them raise up off the map. Somehow I knew that these cities would be attacked at the same time: Cincinnati, San Francisco, Montreal, Atlanta, Dallas, and Washington, D.C. Okay. So we're talking about New York and these cities. In the fourth vision, then I saw Mexico City. There were three planes trying hard to land, and they came in at from three different directions and crashed in midair. Then came Hawaii, and I saw some tragedies must be through some type of big wave, like a tsunami. Tragic, wiped out. I believe that islands were sunk. Then at the end, I saw written, "Cannot be overridden." Right. Then about 2 days later, the vision about New York came back very strongly, and I was again under the water, and the Statue of Liberty was in the water with me. And I said, "Lord, take me out of the water. Please, take me out." Praise God, it was cold. It was cold. It was very real. And I saw again the hole which was blown in the skyscrapers. And it seemed, now watch this, I want to share something with you. It seemed that it was important for me to be under or in the water from that vantage point. And I saw something. So suddenly I saw as a submarine coming to the surface, and then after this there were many. It was like a fleet. They were Russian, which was important for me to see. They all came to the surface of the harbor with the hole in the buildings. It looked to me like the inside of a hole was coming out around the hole like it had been shot from the north to the south. And I saw black helicopters everywhere, and men coming out on ropes and invasions of a sort. I put a little note here that this could be U.S. Special Forces coming in. But, you know, I want to tell you something about this invasion part here. Okay. In the next hour, I'm going to prove to you what the Lord showed me, that this invasion, well, I'm not doubting at all that there will be invited into America, foreign troops to bring order. But the invasion, as far as the attack on America and the destruction of America, is going to be delayed this year. I'm talking about the attack on America as far as individual nukes or Al-Qaeda or anything like that. But the Lord showed me several years ago that the attack as far as China and Russia and an invasion and a war between Russia, China, and America, that ain't going to happen. Okay. Now, I'm not saying anything's wrong with this vision, because what he's probably seeing, as I think he says a little bit further down here, not only the first sequence of events, but events that come after because of that, okay? So, he said, "I saw another fleet of ships going towards the disaster, and then I saw a ship's compass, and the compass was in the direction of southwest." Well, if you're going towards New York and they're going southwest, I would say that's coming out of the Russian territory up there. This is talking about the Russian invasion fleet that other people have seen coming to America. I want to share with you the Bible codes and what they have to say about this. If there is a delay of one particular part of revelations that are coming to America at this time, it doesn't mean that the rest of it's wrong. It doesn't even mean that that part's wrong. It just means that God doesn't delay it until he delays it. You know, and what I'm going to share with you in the next hour is that there is a delay that's coming this year concerning a war that's even worse than the war that we're about to go into. And I do believe that America's about to go into a war. America's about to go into, or let me say, continue the war of Jeremiah 25, where it conquers Middle Eastern nations, many Middle Eastern nations. America's going to continue that war. And we've been hearing a lot of prophecies here lately that Russia is going to get involved in that war, and that there's going to be a world war between Russia and the United States involved in this. Well, I don't believe that that's going to happen, and I'll tell you why. Because the Lord showed me a delay in 2006. It's been in the Bible for a long time. It's been in the Bible code for a long time. There is a delay of one war in 2006. I'm not talking about the Jeremiah 25 war. That one, I believe, is going to continue. But the war that the Bible speaks about, and also that the Bible code speaks about, between Russia, China, and America, an all-out nuclear war, that one is going to be delayed because it says so in the Bible and in the Bible codes. I'll share that with you a little later. After we prayed specifically to receive an indication about timing, this is very hard to read. Something I can tell you. So as we prayed, the Lord gave me a vision about a boat which wrote in the water 23. It came from the top. It came from the top to down. In the spirit, I knew this was January 1 and 23. Then the boat came again and wrote 2006 from the left to the right. This date may be the beginning of these judgments. We're getting some confirmations. I've gotten a couple here just in the last few days. We're getting some confirmations of this, which will end in the future invasion of the United States in the day of the Lord. Of course, we're talking about a span of time that's 7 years long. The Bible code spoke of an all-out nuclear war between the United States, Russia, China in 2006. And it also showed that it is delayed. It is delayed until the day of the Lord, when the sun and the moon are darkened at the end of the tribulation period. Matthew 24 and 29 says that the earth is shaken out of its place when all nations are gathered against Babylon. Excuse me, that's not. That's Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13, 4, 6, 9 through 13. All nations are gathered against Babylon. That's when the sun and the moon are darkened. And it's after the tribulation, which is Matthew 24 and 29. You know, Jesus said, after the tribulation of those days, that the sign of the Son of Man would be seen in heaven, and he'd send forth his angels. The sun would be dark, and the moon wouldn't give us light, and he'd send forth his angels and gather together his elect. So we know it's after the tribulation. We know that Isaiah 13 tells us that Babylon's going to fall when the sun and the moon are darkened. And that's basically what the Bible code says, too. So we'll look at that more acutely here in just a little bit. The last vision says, the sword of the Lord is hanging over America. I have felt that I am underwater since I have arrived, and it is awesome because I think that when I went into the water, the vision somehow, I stayed spiritually in the water, for the vantage point in the water is very important right now. It's very hard to read this. I saw the map of America, and it isn't a star as I saw in the beginning. I saw it is a sword. The Lord gave me great detail. It is his judgment. The sword of the Lord hanging in the balance against America. It was firmly standing boldly and cannot be moved. The first vision gave somehow an overview of the coming judgments. I believe that. What we were talking about a few minutes ago, that was an overview of judgments. It may have started with America, but it continued on over a period of time. In other words, the January 23rd date is not the whole thing. It's just talking about when it begins. So he says the first vision came somehow as an overview of the coming judgments, which will be all over the world. It is very clear it is starting in North America. I believe that this is the first vision at the top. I was with the angels flying Not the one titled, the one that's titled the first vision is not what he's talking about here. It's when he was with the angels flying. Let's see. Let me read on down here a little bit. For the fact that the Lord showed this vision about New York was an answer to my prayers. It was on August 11th that the Lord woke me up in the morning with a prayer on my lips to call for the Christians and the Jews in New York to leave. And I think, too, folks, it's time for people that are in these big cities, you know, that are in the path of judgments. It's time for all God's people to make sure that they are where God wants them. Not be moved by fear, but just be moved by what the Lord is showing you and revealing to you. So I prayed this prayer during many days, and with this vision, I believe the Lord gave me some very clear indications to understand what He wants to say. The timing is to be taken very seriously, January the 23rd, 2006. I believe the Lord has already softened and delayed this judgment announced since last fall very clearly. So I have the impression that there will be no delay anymore. But there is a clear call to simply prepare for it. In other words, what he's saying is what we know to be true is that many prophecies spoke about this happening in the end of last year. And we got revelations from different prophets. We got some ourselves about these things being delayed for a short period of time. In fact, we have some revelations on our site like that, that the whole sequence of events was delayed just momentarily. And now they're starting back up. And I believe that's true. Now, since we looked at this, we had a couple of confirmations. One of them from Leon DeBeer. And he said, I have a possible confirmation for the 23rd of January 2006 prophecy. It might just be a regular dream, but seeing as it is involving this subject matter, I decided to inform you anyway. I read his cup is running over 2 or 3 days before this. So I was on a building, and it was nighttime, and there was a prophet there. This person was under some sort of anointing. It was as if God spoke through him. But because of God speaking through him, his flesh at some times was stunned, as if he was dumb for a second or two. The feeling I got from this prophet was that he wasn't popular with the masses. He also didn't appear very rich. Anyway, he called me towards him and told me, the destruction of skyscrapers and buildings will soon begin. I instinctively know and knew that this was and is talking about the USA. There is no doubt about that, none. I asked him, when will this start? And for a moment he was quiet, just looking at me. And I asked him, the 23rd of January, 2006? And he said, yes, that's the date. He also said that as long as we remain in God's light and not betray Him, we would be safe. And when I awoke, I had a feeling to read Isaiah 14:14, and especially Isaiah 10:1. My note here is that Isaiah 10:1-6 seems pertinent to this judgment, because of unrighteous decrees, God sends the Assyrian beast to destroy and plunder His Babylonish people. Also, in 14:14-15, the king of Babylon, who is called the Day Star or Lucifer in verse 12, is using the natural king of Babylon to play God, but is warned that he will be brought down. Well, that's interesting. That's exactly what's going on, folks. You know, the king of Babylon in Isaiah 14 was not only the man who ruled Babylon, but the one who ruled through him, and that was Lucifer. Did you know that? You need to study that. If the head of Babylon is the leader of the United States, and Lucifer wants to be exalted above the stars of God, then he would have to rule the United States, wouldn't he? And I know that some of you think that God does that, but he also uses vessels. And you know that the devil is the god of this world. He is the king. He is the true king of Babylon, according to Isaiah 14. Not the man that's sitting on the throne. He is the true king of Babylon. And he says there that he desires to exalt his throne above the stars of God, which is the people of God. And in the days when Babylon conquered the people of God, they were the head of gold, symbolizing in this day the same thing about to happen. You know, a lot of Christians in the United States are at a loss to understand what's about to come upon the world and upon Christianity. The image of the beast, which is headed up by the United States, is about to make war on the saints, folks. You're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's what Jesus said. Now, Brandon Davis had something pretty significant, I think. He said, on two separate occasions, I asked God for confirmation of the January 23rd date for the attack. On 1/11/06, I prayed fervently for God to give me confirmation of the judgment coming on 1/23/06. The thought entered my head, why don't I flip open the Bible? So, I prayed again, and I flipped open and I put my finger down four times. These are the verses my finger landed on. Revelation chapter 2, 21 through 23. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. Mm-hmm. Verse 22. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of her ways, and I will strike her children dead. That's pretty interesting. That's, of course, the story about Jezebel, the harlot, being thrown into tribulation with her children. And then we know there's two parables of that. You know, one the religious harlot and one the secular harlot of the United States that's going to be thrown into tribulation. Isaiah 37 and 11. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, to destroy them utterly. And will you be delivered? Of course, the implication is no. And Daniel 12 and 1, there will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of the nations until then. In Isaiah 33 and 14, the sinners in Zion are terrified, trembling grips the godless. Who of us can dwell with the consuming fire, and who can dwell with everlasting burning? Yes, America is about to go through much tribulation before the ultimate destruction, but that's going to be our opportunity to get the gospel out and our opportunity to, of course, repent and turn to the Lord with all of our heart. And then he prayed again on 1/17/06. He said, I prayed again for confirmation of the 23rd date. And I flipped my Bible open once and stuck my finger down on Numbers 26 on verse 51. The total number of the men of Israel was 601,730. The first thing I thought to do was to add. So I added 5 plus 1 plus 6 plus 1 plus 7 plus 3, and it equals 23. Now, there's that number again. This all seems highly improbable to me, but my brain still wants to be skeptical. Am I wrong to still doubt the 123 date and hold back from warning people? I keep praying for more confirmations. The only other time I have sought confirmation from God by flipping open the Bible, I was answered perfectly. I asked God what I am to do right now. Should I consider quitting school and prepare full time for studying His Word, or should I continue doing both? So I flipped my Bible open to Ecclesiastes 11 and 6. Sow your seed in the morning, and at the evening let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. I've also had three dreams about judgment in the past 2 weeks that I am certain are prophetic, but not specifically to do with 123. So anyway, he shared that confirmation. The one thing I want to point out is that I know that the Lord has shown me that both Russia and China have been covertly making war on America. They're funneling funds. They're funneling weapons. They're in a covert war with America, and they're using the Muslims to weaken America so that they can do what they've planned to do. Ultimately, it's going to happen because the Bible says so. But the big war that people are beginning to prophesy right now, and that are mixed up in some things, I'm not saying that the prophecies are wrong. You remember before 2000, we got a lot of dreams and visions and revelations about 2000 being this attack on America, an invasion of America, and it was in the Bible code. And I'm going to share with that with our other audience here in just a few minutes how the Lord showed me that God delayed that several different ways. It wasn't that it was a wrong prophecy, though. That's the whole point. You know, in 2000 or leading up to 2000, these were not wrong prophecies. And the prophecies that are leading up to 2006, they may not be wrong. It's just that there may be part of that that has been delayed. Now, I know some people say that and I know that it is true that the things that we've been recently talking about being delayed in the end of last year, judgments, individual judgments that are coming upon America, that they're no longer going to be delayed. And I think that is very true, too, that these things are not going to be delayed any longer. We're going to start seeing these judgments that are going to lead America and the American economy and the American people to fear the Lord. And we praise God for that. What we've been praying for is going to come to pass. Folks, we've been praying for these people around us, and the Lord is not going to turn them loose. He is very gracious. We've been praying for children. We've been praying for parents. We've been praying for loved ones. We've been praying for people around us that we desire earnestly to come into the kingdom. And we discovered that God's not going to do it without shaking the nations, without pouring out His Spirit, without pouring out His unleavened bread. He's going to do all these things in order to bring His people totally into the kingdom of God. And so we're in the most opportune time in the history of the world to see a great, great revival. And I don't think you should fear, because remember that God sent you here. If you are a Christian, if you know the Lord, if you desire His will, remember that God put you here for this purpose and this time. It should be comforting to you to know that He does work all things together for your good, and He will fulfill your prayers. If you don't turn them loose, He won't either. He will bring them to pass, and He will use these things around us, this shaking and so on and so forth, this pouring forth of His Spirit, to bring them to pass. And I know that you, like I, want to be used greatly of the Lord to bring in as many as possible. Fear not. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, Jesus said. The thing we have to do is make sure that we're at God's disposal, that we are seeking Him for the grace to move through us to be a blessing to the people around us. But all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. That's what He said. See, this is not left in the hands of man, folks. This is in the hands of the Almighty God. He is doing His will, as Daniel said, in the armies of heaven and upon the earth, and no one restrains His hand. There is a question about who God will use to bring these things to pass. If He doesn't use you, He will use someone else. What did Jesus say about the rocks crying out? You see, God will use something. He will use someone, but He will get the job done. Will He get it done with you? That's the only question. Will He get it done through you? That's the only question, right? But God will do it. And God uses our faith to bring things to pass. Did you know that? You know, people used to say, and they still do, of course, prayer changes things. Well, from our point of view, that's true. Prayer changes things. But from God's point of view, that's not true. I'll tell you why. Because the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Everything that God spoke in the beginning is coming to pass. The only thing we question is, by what method? You know? Well, He uses us. If He can use us. If He can't use us, He uses someone else. He uses our faith. You know, we say prayer changes things, but from God's point of view, prayer fulfills things. It fulfills the will of God. It permits God to use you and your faith to bring to pass what He wants to do. We're not twisting God's arm to bring anything to pass. We're being used as vessels to fulfill His will, which was spoken from the foundation of the world. See, we have to get these perspectives right. We have to look at these things from God's point of view, because obviously we're in training to be sons of God, right? So the people that think, oh, yeah, you faith people, you're all trying to twist God's arm and make him do something he doesn't want to do. That's not true. God gave us faith to fulfill what he wanted to do. And it's true that we can abuse it. You know, we can use it for the flesh. We can attempt all those things. But the truth is God wants you and I to stand in faith for the people around us, to ask the Lord to give us the nations. Ask and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. We need to ask the Lord for this. You know, there's going to be a great revival coming, but I can tell you what's going to precede that great revival. It's going to be great faith. I mean, there are people believing God to do this. I see it in the scriptures. I see it in the revelations that the Lord's given me. I know there's a great revival coming right in the midst of great trouble. You know, everybody wants great revivals, but they want them in time of peace and prosperity. That isn't when they really come. There's a lot of fake revivals actually come in those times, peace and prosperity. But there's a real revival coming, folks. The Lord has shown it to me, and I want to be useful in his kingdom to bring it, to help bring it to pass. And I know you do too. Continue to exercise your faith that God will give you souls. He can use you. He can use me. He's going to use people who exercise faith, who pray and believe him to do this. We are his vessels through whom he moves. He can use us as easily as he can use anyone else. He can use a donkey, can't he? Sure can. So he definitely can use us. Send your prayers up to God and stand firm. Don't be double-minded, according to James chapter 1. You know, don't be double-minded. We're not going to receive anything if we do. Hold fast. Don't walk by sight concerning the people that you're praying and believing for. Hold fast the confession of your hope that it wavers not. Don't be double-minded. Don't look at your children and say, well, I prayed, I did my best, I raised them up, or I didn't raise them up, but I prayed and I believed God, but they seem to be going the wrong way, you know, and they're falling into this and falling into that. Don't you think Jesus would have thought that about Peter? Well, I thought I taught him good, but here he is full of unbelief and denying me and everything else, you know. No, Jesus was just so much peace, you know. He said, Satan has desired to sift you, but I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail you. He was very confident, you know. And we should be too. We shouldn't walk by sight. Don't look at your children. You see them going out in the world. You see them being stubborn. You see them being very foolish. But don't be anxious or troubled by what you see. Hold fast to the confession of your hope. Our God is a sovereign God. He works all things after the counsel of his will, and he will bring them in. Just trust in him. Do not be double-minded. You know, the devil knows he has to get us to be double-minded to give up on these things. I'm reminded of the man that, I'm not reminded of his name right now, but I remember his story, and it was a very neat one how that the Lord took him into a warehouse in heaven and saw all these things that people started out believing for but never endured in faith to the end to actually receive them. And an angel actually spoke to this man and told him that when he asked what these things were. And the angel said, well, these are the things that people have prayed for but didn't endure in their faith to receive. They were theirs, but they couldn't claim them, you know. So we have to be steadfast in our faith, holding fast to the Lord, that he will use us mightily, that he will gift us, that he will pour out his Spirit upon us, that he will open the doors, that he will draw people to us, and he will open our mouths and fill it with his word. You know, we need to be confident in the Lord. These are the days when God is going to mightily use people, and he might as well use you, right? He might as well use me. So let's hold fast to the Lord and trust him. A great shaking is coming, you know, if not on the 23rd. I can tell you, honestly, folks, the Lord hadn't told me it was going to happen on the 23rd, but I don't doubt it a bit. You know, I mean, you get a few confirmations like that. It's something you ought to at least pay attention to. It doesn't mean, because I put it on my site does not mean that I believe everything there. It just means that it's something that we need to pay attention to. I mean, the Bible tells us to listen, and if it doesn't come to pass, don't be afraid. We're not, you know, everybody wants to judge people over their dreams and visions and so on and so forth. Let me say this about prophecy. Prophets are not only people who have gifts of prophecy and word of knowledge and wisdom and discernment and things like that. They are also elders in the faith. They are mature in the faith. They are judged a little differently than someone who is growing in their gift, whether it be a dream or a vision or a revelation, a prophecy, whatever. They're judged a little bit differently. These people are mature in their faith, and your understanding does have everything to do with your prophecy. I mean, the Bible says we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I thought as a child, but when I become mature, I put away childish things. What he's saying is very clearly that your understanding has a lot to do with how perfectly you can prophesy. And, you know, sometimes our doctrine gets mixed in with the prophecy. Our revelations concerning end time things can get mixed in with the prophecy. You know, like Leon was very honest here. He and it's good that he says this. You know, he makes the point that, look, I had read about this dream ahead of time. And two or three days before I had this dream, I read about the prophecies on his cup is running over. Well, that's good, because you never know how much something could have gotten in you. I will point out, though, that Corey over here, he had a revelation that was a confirmation revelation about the Statue of Liberty being in the water, and he got it before we ever read this. Right, Corey? So, you know that's not something that was put in you. You know, from a revelation. We had other confirmations like that too. So we're going to wait and see, just like everybody else, whether it's going to happen on the 23rd or not. But I believe that the sequence of events is going to be set in motion very quickly. If not on the 23rd, it'll be shortly thereafter. I'm convinced of that. And that we're about to go into a war that is going to really, really shake the world into making this one world order and coming into agreement over this one world order. Keep hold fast your faith, folks, because God's going to bring it to pass. And listen, you know, we trust the Lord to perfect us. We trust the Lord to bring to pass what he gave us at the cross. We're believing him to finish the good work he started in us. And don't look at yourself right now and be fearful, because I know some people are tempted to do that. They say, well, here the tribulation is getting ready to start, and I'm still not perfect. but you know what? You need to hold fast the confession of your hope. You need to look in the mirror and hold fast to what you see there as Jesus, because we no longer live. Christ lives in us, right? We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that image. Thank God that he finished the work on you at the cross. By one offering he hath perfected them that are sanctified. Thank God he finished that work on you at the cross. It has nothing to do with time. It has to do with your faith. Faith is accounted as righteousness. You are justified by your faith, which means you are accounted righteous by your faith. So you have to do the same thing as everybody else. You have to believe the gospel, the good news, you know, that Jesus lives in you and that God will bring it to pass because you believe it. It's just like you believe you were healed by his stripes, 1 Peter 2:24, and God brings it to pass because you believe it. Healing for the body, healing for the soul, healing for the mind, it's all the same thing to God. You know? So hold fast to the word. We have a lot of prophecies, dreams, and visions on our site that are not from prophets, so to speak. Some of them are, some of them aren't. You know, and the Bible says that we prophesy in part. Prophesying can come in the form of a dream or a vision or a spoken word. And we trust that God will mature us so that he can use us more perfectly every day. But we don't judge people that, you know, have prophesied in part. I mean, he calls it being a child in 1 Corinthians 13:9. Sometimes we're childlike in a certain gift. We may be very mature in other things, but we might be childlike in a certain gift. And he said that's prophesying in part. That which is perfect has come. That which is in part shall be done away. As we mature, the more perfectly our gift will come. Continue to ask God to give you a perfect gift and give you true knowledge about the things that He's trying to share with you. But don't discourage and don't let, and those of you that are quick to judge people according to the old covenant, judge them as false prophets. Well, I've seen people that were judged as false prophets and never claimed to be a prophet in the first place. A prophet is a prophet. And the overwhelming majority of people who prophesy are not prophets. Prophet is an office. It's an office of an elder. And I know there are a lot of people that claim to be prophets that really shouldn't be doing that because they might get in trouble, because a prophet is an office of an elder. It's an office of an overseer in the New Testament. It's an office where that gift is supposed to be perfected and matured in. And so people hold you to a higher standard if you're a prophet, So if you're prophesying in part, fear not. God's not condemning you. He just wants you to grow up. That's the way it should be. And people who go around condemning other people because they're wrong about this or wrong about that, they're going to be judged with the same measure they meted out, folks. What measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. He that judges without mercy shall be judged without mercy. Remember that about the critical people out there that are condemning others. The people that are so dogmatic to try to point out other people's problems when they got their own big problems. Jesus told those people, He said, get the board out of your eye so you can see clear to get the mote out of your brother's eye, First, get your own ship in order. That's what He said, Be in readiness to avenge disobedience when your obedience is made full. That's what He said, In Corinthians, what Paul said in Corinthians. So when you find somebody that's ready to judge everybody else with a critical spirit, get away from them quick. Those people are very foolish. Because ultimately what goes around comes around.